good of his people. So if you're his and you're going through a difficult time, you can rest in that. And I'm not saying that's easy, but I'm saying that's the truth. That ultimately, see, Joseph, he was able to go through that. Why? He could see past his brothers. If you can't see past your brothers, then you're not going to be able to get through this. You'll have no joy. There'll be no freedom and faithfulness. You'll basically just be plodding along trying to get to the other side. Man, I just can't wait for Jesus to come back. Or just take me home. That's not the existence that we've been called to live. That's an awesome story that we have been given, that God is writing in our lives. And whatever you're going through, remember, you're going through it. Remember when the apostles got all freaked out on the water? Jesus is asleep, they're in a storm, and they're, Lord, don't you care? We're perishing here. So Jesus calmed the storm, and he calmed their hearts. And what did they forget? Before they ever got into the boat, what did Jesus say? Let's go to the other side. They forgot that they were going to the other side in the middle of the storm. You're going to get to the other side. Jesus is taking you through. He's in the middle of the storm with you. And even more importantly than that, he sent the storm. Storm didn't just show up. Lord, I'm doing all these good things for you. I can't believe this is happening now. How many stories have we read of great missionaries giving up everything and then weeks and months later contracting diseases and dying? And you're going, what is that? That's God's story. God had a perfect plan for that person for that period of time. See, our greatest focus needs to be how our story fits into his. And we're letting him write that. We don't have the pen. And when we surrender to that and we open up to some other brothers, it just makes life a whole lot easier to walk through. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you all know it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, that no one may boast. We will talk about this deeply, but I just wanted you to see it again today. Next week, we will talk deeply about that. Go to the next one. Three categories of the Christian life: salvation, sanctification, and glorification. We're going to take a look at that. What does that actually mean? What's going on? But the key thing I want you to see in those three, there's one common component that undergirds all three. What is that? That's the grace of Almighty God. Here's what the problem is. And the great grace teachers today, and there's a number of them out there, but I want you to know we have one of them here. And you know that. The guy's got it. He understands what's going on. He really does. And the great grace teachers, which I'm not one of, I'm just learning this stuff. 5 years I've been learning this stuff, and the little bit I learned, I realize I don't really have a grasp on this at all. Why do I know I don't get it? I'm impatient with my wife. I get angry at my kids. I get frustrated in my ministry. I don't get it. But what we need to get is those three parts: salvation, sanctification, and glorification are rooted in grace. Here's the problem for many men. You believe you've been saved by grace, but then what do you believe? Even if you don't say it consciously, what do you believe? You believe that you're sanctified by your good works. Yes, you do. We all do. You think about it. Use Jerry Bridges' analogy of the good day, bad day. You've had a good day. You got up early. You showed up here. You had your breakfast, your fellowship. You did your devotions. You prayed. You went to work. You were good. You were kind. You cut nobody off on 95. And when you were cut off, you didn't chase them down and give them the fist. Fist, I said. You didn't do that. You came home, you loved on your wife, you took care of your children, you did your bed, you did your devotions with your children, you prayed with them before they went to bed, you prayed with your wife if you're single, you prayed with the Lord, and you got yourself ready to bed, and you went, man, that's a good day, and you expected God to bless you. You couldn't wait to get up the next day. No, that deal's coming through. Why? You had a good day. You're doing the right stuff. Now, The bad day, you get up and you forget your devotion. You're running late. You hit the snooze button three times. No time. You get on 95. Guy cuts you off. Boom, you get right in front of him and you give... I'm going to get, you get to the office, you're angry and you're irritable and you can't wait to get through the day. You get in the line at the grocery store, you're standing there, there's one person, you're ready to check out and price check, aisle 7. And I can't believe I'm stuck in this line. I'm never going to get home. You've missed every opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. You get to the end of the day, but as you're leaving, you're in the lot, you're coming through, and Jerry Bridges says, you have an opportunity to witness. You're not ready to witness. And there's no way God's going to bless your witnessing because of the day you had. And he says, that's messed up. God's not blessing you because of the kind of day you're having. He's blessing you because of your union in Christ. And he's not coming after you because of the kind of day that you're having. Now, we're going to unpack that. Don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about license. We're talking about the understanding of what grace looks like in the life of the believer. And the same grace that saves you sanctifies you and glorifies you. You got to get that so that we as men get off the performance treadmill. We keep performing, trying to stay in God's affection and in his approval. And what does Tullian say every week? You already have that. That can't change. What changes, let me just make it very clear, what changes is in that relationship. When you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, whatever that is, and you can think about what that might be. But when you're doing that, you don't sense God's favor. You don't sense maybe God's presence. You don't sense maybe God's blessing. What's happened? You feel that he's far from you. What's happened? Well, somebody moved, right? Well, it wasn't God. You moved. That's all. He's still right there with you, but you don't sense that presence right now. You've broken communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So then at that point in time, you're not feeling and you're not experiencing the joy of your salvation. That's the reality of sin. We know that. But God is not angry at you, but yet God demands. Remember, God's love has great demands. He delights in you, but he demands things from you. When he said, be holy because I am holy, he was serious. But we're going to unpack that and see what that means in our lives. Because we know that we're not holy. We know that we're not by experience. No one needs to tell us that. So that's why it's critical. That's why these grace preachers, they got it. And when we get it, we can begin to start to really grow and really begin to find what that joy, the joy of the Lord. How often do you experience that? I don't get that a lot. Because I'm so busy, being busy and so focused on working, and that's not the Christian life. It's not the way it was meant to be. That's why we need times like this. Let me make one more point. These groups, whether it's here or whether you're doing this somewhere else, you will never, listen to me, and this is scripture, you will never, ever grow to the potential that God is calling you to without having other brothers in your life. You can't get it Sunday morning under the sermon or Wednesday night. As critical as that is, don't misunderstand me. We need the sermons. We have to be the body and the community coming together for corporate worship. We have to be in small groups. As the church gets larger, it has to get smaller. So we have community groups. We have those things are critical. But you are not going to grow to the potential that God is calling you to as a man of God without other men in your life who you have given permission to enter in. When I did that with my mentor, it transformed my life. I hated it. It was the worst thing that happened to me at the beginning for someone to confront me face to face and say, what you're doing here is not good. The way you're speaking to your wife is not good. If you keep this up with your children, they won't be able to get out of the house fast enough. It's not good. We need that. Someone, you know what we keep thinking we need? Just an arm around the shoulder that's giving us encouragement. What's the flip side of encouragement? We studied that in our last study on Tullian's four-part sermon series on encouragement. What's the flip side? Rebuke. Rebuke done in love. I've been rebuked by brothers in this room. And that's a good thing. We need to get that. Next point. We're almost through. Three-part story. We're going to get to that. Creation, fall, and redemption. You can keep going. We're going to talk about that in the life of man. That's it. Let me make one more point before we turn in. What I want us to remember, if nothing else, the one thing, this is not about a deep theological teaching and study. We're studying the scriptures. And my goal is to teach a little bit of the scriptures, but that's not the primary reason. If somebody says, why are you there? Now, you have your own reasons, but I can tell you why the Lord gave us the vision for the Brother Brigade in this church in 2003. And many of you men who are here today were there at the very beginning. It was about one thing, fellowship. Being involved in men's ministry, I'm on the men's council for the PCA, and I get a chance to sit around guys who know a whole lot more about this than me. And you sit and you talk to them, guys like Gary Yeagel and Pete Allinson and Pat Morley and that team from Man in the Mirror, and you start looking at this stuff from the inside out. Here's a statistic that's true, and see if it's true in your own life. 95% of all men, 95 out of every 100, 95% of all men have no best friend. Think about that for a moment. We'll define that, and then we're going to pray. That's true. You were in high school. Some of us, hard to think back that far, but you were in high school. You had a lot of best friends. And something happens after high school and college. You get busy being busy, living the life that God has called you to live. You're doing good stuff, but you don't have that best friend anymore. Why? It's shifted. If you're married, you've shifted. Your number one best friend should be your wife. That covenant community. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about man on man. I'm talking about David and Jonathan. That's what I'm talking about. Most men don't have that. Who do you have? Honestly, I'm not saying who could you call at 2 a.m. That line, it's a good line, but it's not deep enough. Well, I guess you could really call anybody. No, I'm going to flip that line. Is there somebody you really would call? Or would you say, I'll just wait till 7 or 8? I got some guys that I've called at 2. And I didn't feel embarrassed by that. When Zach went down and he had his seizures, 1 year old, right before midnight, I got the call. They were in Tampa. And the nurse said, you need to come. 5 seizures in a row, they couldn't control it. I got Brock and Jenna up. I said, we got to go. I remember calling Clark and Brian. I called Brian first. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, he was at the house. Just hugging me. And he showed up like Job's friend showed up, but he didn't make the mistake that they made. He just came and he hugged me. And we cried. And I got out of there just in time before Clark got there, because he didn't want me to go alone. And I should have waited, because he missed a blessing when I took that away from him. These are men that really care. I've got Dan. I've got Joe. I've got Rob. I've got Adam. I've got some guys that I've been with: Phil, Chris, Rick, and Chuck. Derek, Scott, who I've been training for years. Sammy. I'm not going to mention all of you. Mike. Robert. So many men. We need that. Rudy. Darth Vader. Oh, my. Somebody said, who's Darth Vader? He's the guy with the... Luke, I am your father. Witness to him at a Chili's. Chili's, he's serving chips. Can I get some extra salsa here? I don't even ask for it. It's just there. And we start talking about the Lord. The guy comes down. He signs up. This is a good... Yeah, the Lord's working in my life. So here he is. And he's serving in the church. We need each other. So many opportunities to do ministry that we miss because we don't want to let somebody in and see what's going on. Let me just pray for us. Finish your fellowship. I'll be done before 7 every week. You'll have your time. Take lesson 1 with you. We're also going to send it out by email for those who aren't here. And next week, Lord willing, you will have notebooks and you'll have all of the lessons together for you. And if you need anything along the way, please let me know. We're here for each other. Thank you for getting up and thank you for being here. You've already done minute. If you never came back, I was blessed this morning just because you showed up. Father, thank you for these men. Lord, they have to go through a lot to get here and they have to go through a lot to get through the day. I pray, Lord, right now, your word is clear that you will redeem the time. I pray that you rain down blessings in the lives of these men. I pray, Lord, that you use this ministry. This is yours. This has nothing to do with me. That you use this ministry as an instrument of not only salvation, but an instrument of sanctification in your mighty right hand. Grow us up into Christ. But that's only going to happen when by the power of the Spirit, you help us to be comfortable enough in our walk with Christ to stop pretending and to stop performing and to simply let other brothers come in. Lord, we may be betrayed at times. We may have, someone may turn their back on us, but Lord, you've called us to this and you know ahead of time what's going to happen. You yourself were betrayed. They walked away from you. Should we expect a crown of glory when you received a crown of thorns? Oh God, give us the strength. Give us the courage and the boldness to be real men. And may it start this day here. We offer this entire season to you. Use it as you see fit. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus who would go to the tree of death, that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for taking all of our sin. Help us to live now like we know whose we are. For the sake of Christ, we ask all this. Amen. God bless you, men. Let's go get them. Amen.